Welcome, new year, new rebrand, or same old rebrand, as we went back to Anthony T's horror show, everyone. I'm Anthony T. In this edition, this is the first episode of 2025, so it's the horror whammies, meaning it's the worst of the worst in 2025 in award show format. Now, this is the equivalent of the Razzies, in which yours truly is basically handing out his dishonorable mentions for 2024. And yes, there were some bad films in what was a great year for horror, seriously. But there were some really bad films that really pissed me off, too. You can't have a great year without some films that pisses me off. And it's the same case here with 2025, as I've had films that pissed me off. But anyway, you'll get my worst of the worst. This is how it goes. Every year, whether it's the Horror Show Awards or the Horror Whammies, when I start a category, I give you first the category, then last year's winner, then I give you this year's winner. And I explain why I chose that film as a winner or a dishonorable mention. So it works both ways, seriously. So that's the Horror Show and Horror Whammies. The Horror Show Awards will be next episode, as it's divided up into three episodes. The Best of 2024 is divided up into three episodes. It used to be two, now it's three. As it's a lot easier, plus the fact that I don't want to do a 2-hour podcast. Seriously. That's what I'd be doing. Seriously. Considering everything going on lately in the world of horror and everything, it would probably be 2 hours. So you will get that. In this episode, you will get the Horror Whammies, the Dishonorable Mentions. In next episode, you'll get the Horror Show Awards. Then I'll bring a guest or guests on to talk about the best of 2024. So that's how the first three episodes of 2025 works, everyone. Now, after the Horror Whammies, I will review a film that's been getting a lot of critical praise in 2024, which I saw at the tail end of 2024, especially for the 2024 Rewind, in which this episode and next episode will be 2024 Rewinds on What's Anthony T. Watching. So there are two films I have not seen that I did see in 2024 that are already filmed. Already recorded, I mean. Not filmed, sorry. Always get loose with that film sometimes. But anyway, you get the point. So I'm going to take a quick break. Then we'll have the 2024 Horror Whammies. Every day there's a family struggling with hospital bills to care for their sick child who is fighting an illness. There's a woman who is fighting breast cancer and is having trouble making ends meet while paying for their treatment. And there are burn victims that are going through treatments to heal their deep wounds. There is a charity in the horror community that helps these people. Scares That Care is an organization that helps families deal with the bills for their child. They help women get the treatment they need to fight breast cancer. And they help people who are dealing with severe burns get the help they need to heal. Scares That Care is a 100% volunteer organization and 501c3 nonprofit charity that is dedicated to helping these people in fighting real monsters. To find out more information or to donate to Scares That Care, you can go to www.scaresthatcare.org. Every donation helps Scares That Care fight real monsters. Welcome to the 7th annual Horror Whammies. I've been doing this show for 7 years. Sometimes in joint with the Horror Show Awards, and sometimes the last couple of years it's been its own episode, like this episode here. But it's been an amazing 7 years, yes. So I never thought I would make it to 7 years, seriously, with this podcast. But we are here, and it is year 7 of this podcast. That means year 7 of the Horror Whammies, everyone, and the 7th annual Horror Whammies. With that, let's kick off the Horror Whammies, the 7th annual edition. First up, most disappointing film. In 2023, I had Knock at the Cabin. Yeah, that was very disappointing, considering it looked like a good film and had Dave Bautista in it. It turned out to be a very, very, very boring film from start to finish. I'm not going to talk about that anymore. Forget that. The 7th annual Horror Whammy for most disappointing film goes to Black Cab. Now, this was a Shudder release, Black Cab. And this was one I was actually looking forward to because I'm a big fan of Nick Frost. And I really thought this would be a good film, seriously. And I thought Nick Frost was okay in it. It's just the screenplay was so bad. It was not like bad, but it was like, you could tell which movie this was. Was this a thriller? Or was this a supernatural horror film? Because it really does not do a good job blending those mixes of genres together. Because literally, it felt confusing at times. I felt bored watching this film. I was surprised. I thought at least the acting would at least get 3 stars. But I was surprised that this film was a mess. Seriously. The acting only really helped this film get it 2 stars. Because the screenplay was like, not good. Seriously. The acting held this film together for me. To keep my interest. But there were times in this film where I was bored. Out of my mind. Plus the fact that I couldn't tell what this movie was trying to be. Seriously. I know they were trying to throw supernatural elements in there. They were trying to throw thriller elements. I thought I was watching a thriller for most of this film. Then out of nowhere, this film became a supernatural horror film. I didn't get it. I really did not get what the screenplay was trying to do. It has the acting in it, but everything else in this film really brought this film down for me a lot. And that's why I think this film really hurt in the long run. Because I was really expecting this to be a really good film, quite frankly. I was expecting this to be at least, like I said before, 3, maybe 3.5, 4 stars. But to give this film 2 stars, considering I love Nick Frost, and I thought he was doing his best with the material he had in this film, but the material in this film really brings this film down a lot. And this is why I really think Black Cab is my most disappointing film of the year. Because literally, I was really looking forward to this film because of Nick Frost. And the fact that it looked good through the trailer test. But unfortunately, Black Cab failed at the most when you see the film throughout. That's why it wins most disappointing horror movie. Moving on. Next category. Why did I watch this film when I knew this was going to be bad? Last year, I chose Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. Oh yeah, that was a really bad film that pretty much dominated the horror whammies last year. Thankfully, I did not see the sequel this year. Thankfully. I made the wise decision not to see the sequel. The 7th annual Horror Whammy for why did I watch this film when it was going to be bad goes to The Exorcism. Yes, I'll tell you why I should have never watched this film in the first place. It's because Russell Crowe plays an exorcist. Or an actor playing an exorcist in The Exorcism. That's right. Russell Crowe in that film is an actor who is playing an exorcism in this film within a film. And I should have known not to watch any films that deal with Russell Crowe and religious themes. Because the year before that, I watched The Pope's Exorcist, and that film sucked. Big time. So, why did I watch this film? Seriously. First of all, it was on Shudder. So, I have to pay for it, because I have a yearly subscription to Shudder. So, it was worth the gamble. But still, I should have known better not to have watched this film. Because Russell Crowe cannot play a priest. Whether it's an actual priest or an actor trying to be a priest in a film for the life of him. Seriously. It also helped that the screenplay was horrible. It also helped that Crowe was awful in this role. It also helped the direction was horrible. This was easily, could have been one of those films that took a lot of awards at this year's Horror Whammies. But I'm saving that for another film. Yeah, we'll get to that soon. We're getting there. We are getting to that film that we all know that I really went on a tirade on this podcast the past year. So, I don't know why I decided to watch The Exorcism after seeing Russell Crowe play a priest so horribly in The Pope's Exorcist. But then again, I'm one of those people that will take punishment for punishment's sake. As there were a couple of horror films that I knew I should have not have seen this year. But, anyway, I should have not seen this film. Seriously. I don't know why I gave this film the time of day. Maybe because it has Russell Crowe in it. That's probably why. But I really have had it. I am done seeing Russell Crowe trying to play a priest or trying to be an actor playing a priest in a horror film. Seriously. I'm done with that. Forget about it. It's over. No more films with Russell Crowe as a priest or an actor as a priest. Because I am done seeing that role from Russell Crowe. It is sad that he's doing these films. Really, it is sad. And he was a big time actor at one time too. Now he's reduced to doing these stupid films. Why? Why not try taking smaller roles, Russell Crowe? Seriously. Instead, you're trying to be the lead. It just doesn't work. Especially when you're trying to play a priest. Or being an actor playing a priest in a film. I don't want to see it anymore. Seriously, Russell Crowe. Stop playing these roles as a priest. I don't want to see it anymore. I'm done watching films with Russell Crowe as a priest. Seriously. Unless if somehow it gets great reviews, I don't want to see it. I'm done with it. The Exorcism was the last straw. No more films with Russell Crowe being a priest or being an actor playing a priest. There should be a moratorium on that. Seriously. In Hollywood. And that's why The Exorcism got... Why did I watch this film when I knew this was going to be bad? Award. Next up, worst sequel adaptation or remake. Last year I chose The Children of the Corn remake. Yeah, that's a really bad film. In fact, that film almost got worst film of the year if it wasn't for Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. That would have been it. Seriously.
The 7th Annual Horror Whammy for worst sequel goes to
Godzilla and Kong, The New Empire. How this franchise has not won an award in this category is beyond me. Maybe because in years in which they released a Godzilla movie or Godzilla and Kong movie, there's been movies that have been really awful that it managed to skate by that award. Not this year, as this was awful. Seriously, another bad Godzilla movie. Why did we need another Godzilla movie here, Warner Brothers? Seriously. You guys don't know how to make a Godzilla movie. You want to see a great Godzilla movie? Go see Godzilla Minus One. Not this film. As this was just crap. And this is surprising because I've seen people that liked this film. I did not like this film at all. It's not why I want in a Godzilla movie. And they need to stop with this Godzilla vs. Kong, Godzilla and Kong films. Because literally, I want to see these two in separate film franchises, not together. And Adam Wingard is just wasting his talents on these films. Literally. I've never seen a director just wasted talent on franchise films like Adam Wingard. He used to be a very good director with Your Next, Pop Skull. Those are really good films. Now he's just doing these Godzilla movies. Why? You could do any movie you want, Adam, but you're still doing these stupid Godzilla movies. It's time to move on from the Godzilla movies. Go back to your roots in horror. I'm sure you'll be able to get what you want and what you want to do in a horror film. I wouldn't even mind if you did a Scream film or a franchise horror film. But enough of the Godzilla films. Please, Adam. As these movies are just boring. I'm just bored sitting watching these films. I am. It's just the same formula every time. Either they're fighting each other, Godzilla or Kong, or they're teaming up to fight other monsters. There's nothing new. You also have human characters in the middle. In subplots. If you want to see a Godzilla movie that's true to Godzilla, watch Godzilla Minus One. Not Godzilla that Warner Brothers has been putting out lately. Seriously. This film was just another example. I was just bored watching this film the entire time. It's an effects film. That's it. There's no story. Just minimal story, high effects. That's it. This is why Adam needs to get out of that Godzilla and Kong franchise. If you want to go make a sequel, Adam, please make a sequel to Your Next. Please make a sequel to The Guest. Those are really good, intense films. I want to see those types of films, not Godzilla and Kong films. You're wasting your talents, Adam. Please get back to your roots, man. You're best when you're in your element, not being controlled by a studio. Enough of this Godzilla and Kong, the New Empire, because that film just aggravates me every time I see an American Godzilla film, as it was awful. And that is why this film won Worst Sequel Adaptation or Remake. Next up, Worst Scene or Scenes. Last year, I chose the beginning of the Children of the Corn remake. The 7th Annual Horror Whammy Award for Worst Scene or Scenes go to Any Scene in Night Swim. This is a film you're going to hear a lot of in this episode. So I'm not going to waste a lot of time here on this award. But I can say there are a lot of scenes in this film where I just was like, thinking to myself, okay, this was awful, that was awful, the beginning was awful, stuff in the middle was awful, the end was awful. Everything felt awful. And then again, you're dealing with a film with a killer pool. So that's already one awful thing, is you already have a killer pool in the beginning of the film. So it just goes downhill from its beginning. But like I said, I am not going to spend a lot of time here because there's a ton of things that just irk me in this film. There are a lot of scenes I hated. I swear, if I didn't have Peacock, I would have not watched this film. In fact, I almost went to the theater and watched it at the theater. It was this close. But I'll tell you more about that later on. About that near miss at the theaters for Night Swim. Because this dominates this whole episode. So I am not going to sit there and go break down any scene. Because literally pretty much every scene I just felt like was awful. And I just wanted to check out of this film. But I couldn't. Because I had to review it for this podcast for better or worse. Anyway, that's why this film won Worst Scene or Scenes because, well, every scene in this film was bad. Literally. I'll go more into that later in the episode. Now my favorite category every year on the Horror Whammies, Worst Idea of the Year. This is a category more of the industry, usually, where some studio comes up with some dumb idea and I have to give it an award because it was such a stupid idea. Literally. Or some studio executive would say something utterly stupid. So that's what's Worst Idea of the Year is. Last year, I had Bob Iger angering members of the SAG-AFTRA Actors Union by saying their demands for a labor contract with higher pay and limits on use of artificial intelligence were unreasonable, proving that Bob Iger was an idiot. Of course, that was the running gag during the strike last year on the podcast. Bob Iger is an idiot. Because, trust me, I don't want artificial intelligence in my films. I know that's where we're going in the industry. But don't force it on everybody in this actors' unions. Some actors don't want their likeness used, period, for artificial intelligence. Respect their privacy. Nevertheless, we have an award show to do. So, the 7th Annual Horror Whammy for Worst Idea of the Year goes to Universal Pictures selling the substance to Mubi before it premiered at the Cannes Film Festival. Now, Universal Pictures could have made a lot of money on this film. Seriously. If it wasn't for the fact that they wanted complete creative control when they signed a contract with a director who had final cut of the film. There's a problem. When the director does not want to change the ending of the film, and you have a contract in which the director has final approval of the final cut. It's kind of hard to have your own happy or your own American type ending. But here's the thing. This film made $77 million worldwide. And Mubi, a company I never knew distributed films. I knew Mubi was more of an entertainment news site for indie art house films. But I didn't know they released films. Brought the rights to the substance in some territories. Made $16 million here in the U.S. on this film. And they also had other territories too where they made money on. So they probably broke even when they purchased this film from Universal Pictures. Why didn't Universal Pictures just release this film? Seriously. I know it's a film that's hard to market, but for a film that got buzz and did well from indie film standards or specialty film standards in America, I don't get why Universal Pictures chose to unload this film. Sure, the film doesn't get enough people going to the theater and seeing this film. You can always throw this film on Peacock. And people will see this film, especially when it has buzz to it. And this was one of the most buzzy horror films of the year, in terms of critical acclaim. I don't get Universal Studios. Seriously. This could have been a profitable film for them. One way or the other. You either make a profit on Blu-ray or DVD, or streaming, or you can actually break even in theaters. This is a low-risk, high-reward type of film for Universal Pictures. And the fact it made $16 million in America, plus $61 million worldwide, I really don't get why Universal Pictures sold this film. Seriously. This film made $77 million worldwide. I just don't get Universal Pictures in selling this film. I also don't get why Universal canceled Chucky as well. In terms of the substance, which I'll now tease, I review at the end of this podcast. Why didn't Universal Pictures give this film a chance in its current form? Because I don't see how this film could have ended any other way than it did. Seriously. Literally. After sitting through that film, I don't see how that film could have ended any other way than it did. I don't get Universal Studios. What were they, asleep when they were viewing this film? And all of a sudden, you know what? We're near the Cannes Film Festival. Why don't we just sell this film? We don't want this film. I just don't get it, Universal Pictures. Seriously. You could have had a worldwide hit on your hands, given the budget of this film. But you chose to sell this film off to various companies, including Mubi. And they're the ones that are reaping the rewards, not you guys. Because you're not going to get the profits. You're not going to get the Blu-ray and DVD sales. You're not going to get the streaming sales. Those things aren't going to happen for you. I'm sorry. Instead, these smaller companies are going to reap the benefits. And you guys aren't. Which makes me wonder why that was such a dumb decision by Universal Pictures. And why I chose that as worst idea of the year. Let's move on. Worst editing. That's a category where the editing really just drove me crazy to the point where I felt like it could have gone so long. That like a 90 minute film turned into a 3 hour film. That's what usually gets you worse editing. Last year, I chose the Children of the Corn remake for worse editing. The 7th annual Horror Whammy for worse editing goes to Night Swim. That movie could have been edited a lot. Seriously. This is one of those films that was so unreleasable. Because literally, that whole second act of the film was just so horrendous. Seriously. I wish that was trimmed about 20 minutes. That's how bad that second act in that film was. You probably could have trimmed 15 to 20 minutes of it. And it still probably would have never been a good film neither. Because nothing was saving this film. Even if they got the editing right in this film, it still would have not have saved this film. This one was not savable. It would have lessened the pain of that 90-minute film of me having to watch that film. But still, that film could have been edited. Because this literally could have been, might as well have been 2.5 hours of just pure boredomness. Because of how slow this film moves at a rapidly slow pace. It's bad enough as bad screenplay, which I'll get to in 1 second, but this editing was so horrible. This should have been at least an 80-minute film. And some of that second act should have been cut, because it was just boring. Boring to watch. Nothing felt like this happening. And that's why Night Swim got worst editing. I'm going to take a quick break, then I'm going to get to the last half of the Horror Whammies. So be back on the other side.
Welcome to Dark Discussions, your place for the discussion of horror film, fiction, and all that's fantastic. A weekly podcast where the discussion is about the most recent horror and genre films. Intelligent talk on a genre that deserves intelligence. A conversation between co-hosts discussing not only the film, but also the connotation that the directors and screenwriters are trying to articulate. If you want more than a review, listen to Dark Discussions.
And speaking of perception, there's just one more scene I want to talk about, which is after Caleb discovers that Kyoto's a robot, Kyoto kind of peels off her skin, showing him what's underneath.
Now, wait a minute. I know where you're going with this, but tell me you weren't already thinking this 15 minutes earlier in the film. Exactly what he's thinking at that moment.
Which is he's a robot, too.
Oh, I considered the possibility.
Right, and that's what I like, is the fact that the writers were smart enough to know that this is what the audience would be thinking.
We've all seen Blade Runner.
Right. Exactly.
www.darkdiscussions.com, wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome back. Moving on to worst screenplay. Last year, I chose Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. The 7th annual Horror Whammy for worst screenplay goes to Night Swim. I kind of teased this last award that this would be getting worst screenplay. And man, this was just a horrible screenplay. Whoever decided to greenlight this film at Blumhouse should not have a job. Seriously, this is something I would expect Troma to make. Because this film deals with, yes, a killer pool, everyone. Unless this blood coming out of the pool, what's the point of a killer pool? Seriously, people. What is the point of having a killer pool movie? So they can swim underneath the pool and just disappear like nothing happened? It's like, why did someone in Hollywood or Blumhouse, for that matter, green light this film? I do not get that theory. Seriously, I would have never greenlit this film if I was a Hollywood executive. Because this is a bad film. Who wants to see a film with a killer pool with no bite? Well, I did actually because, well, I wanted to review it for the podcast. Seriously, because I felt like there was an obligation to do it. And the fact that I was going to do it earlier in the year, which I'll share that story later on here, as I was planning on seeing this film earlier in theaters instead of seeing this on Peacock, as I really felt like I was going to review this film back in January, or early February. But anyway, thankfully I did not. I'll share more than that story later on in this segment, because there's some more hate towards this film, seriously. There is a lot of hate towards this film, as this was on the podcast this year. Regrettably, on the podcast. That was a topic, as I reviewed it for the podcast. But anyway, back to the screenplay. The characters were dull. Everything felt one-dimensional. Who in Hollywood decided it was a great idea to make this movie and to put this movie into theaters? Seriously. This should have been a made-to-streaming release, because this was just horrible to watch, quite frankly. I don't know who decided that was a good idea to put this one in theaters. And we still have the Toxic Avenger not in theaters. But a film with a killer pool got into theaters in 2024, but not the Toxic Avenger. Makes no sense. But then again, it's Blumhouse, as they've really gone downhill lately. I'm really hoping the Wolfman turns it around for them. Seriously. Next up, worst actress. Last year, I chose Gina Malone for Consecration. The 7th annual Horror Whammy for worst actress goes to Susan Priver for Scalper. Now, this is an indie horror film that I watched this year. And this was a film I regrettably watched, and I believed I reviewed on the podcast as well. In the film Scalper, Susan Priver plays a psychic who's being stalked by a deranged caller who's killing all her friends. Now, this is a film that I kind of wanted to review because, well, I wanted to get some more independent horror films in there. But I did not like her performance in this film. And she was the lead character in this film. For a suspense horror film to work, you need the lead actress' performance to be good. This performance was not good at all. I did not like this performance one bit. I thought she came out flat in the way she approached her character. I thought the character was one note at times. Her character also felt a little annoying in the way she conveyed her performance in the film. So this is one of those films that I literally had a hard time watching because of that. It also didn't help that this film did not have a good screenplay or good direction at all. Because I also thought the screenplay and direction in this film were horrible. As both of those aspects were very bad as well. As I believe I gave that film 1 star. But still, I would have at least wanted the acting to be better. I just felt her performance was very flat in one note. And when you have a performance that's very flat in one note and you're the main character of the film, you tend to not be interested in the character. Even though this film has a bad screenplay and bad direction, Priver's performance didn't even made me want to care about this film. Sometimes a good performance will at least make this film bearable to watch, maybe bump it up to 2 stars. As you can get good acting, and I can be fair about it, maybe give 2 stars. But the acting was also horrible. I just don't think she put any effort into her role. It's really sad. I kind of like those types of mystery horror movies. But anyway, her performance there was just unbearable to watch. And that's why it's the worst. She won the award for Worst Actress in the 7th Annual Horror Whammies. Next up, Worst Actor. Last year, I chose Adam Driver for 65. That was an awful performance, but not as worse as this one this year. As the 7th Annual Horror Whammy for Worst Actor goes to Russell Crowe for The Exorcism. Russell Crowe's performance in The Exorcism proves that there needs to be one thing in Hollywood. There needs to be a law saying that Russell Crowe can never play a priest or be an actor playing a priest. Because this is the second year in a row in which Russell Crowe has played a priest or an actor playing a priest in a horror film. It didn't work last year with The Pope's Exorcist, and it surely didn't work here this year with The Exorcism, everyone. As Russell Crowe was just horrible in this film. He was very dull, very boring. His character was so lifeless in that film. I swear, I don't get why Russell Crowe was even given another opportunity. Didn't the producers of The Exorcism see The Pope's Exorcist? Because seriously, he was awful in that film. He put me to sleep in that film. And probably put a lot of people to sleep as well with his performance in that film. So, when casting this film, you know what? It might be a good idea to cast Russell Crowe as an actor playing a priest. Sure, nobody would notice that he kind of did the same role last year and didn't do it well. Well, he didn't do it well again this year. It was so horrible. Last year, he was able to avoid it because Adam Driver was just so flat out awful in 65. But he's not avoiding it this year. There's no horrendous performances that are gonna save him from getting this award. Seriously. It's like he doesn't even try to be a good actor anymore. And Russell Crowe used to be a very good actor. An Academy Award level actor. But it seems like as he got older, it seems like he's forgotten to act or something. Seriously. He should not be allowed to do these types of roles. In fact, I don't want Russell Crowe in my horror films. Period. Because every time he's in a horror film, nothing seems to go right. Literally. It's like 2 really bad films in a row where Russell Crowe was the star in a horror film. Will somebody please give him another drama or something? Or a supporting role so he can stay away from the horror genre? Because seriously, I do not need to see Russell Crowe in the horror genre anymore. Seriously. He feels out of place in this genre. Sure, you had a lot of veteran character actors this year in this genre. Kevin Bacon, Dennis Quaid, Gino Carlo Esposito. But they all, at least, can act in these films. Or at least invested in their roles in these horror films. As all three of those actors really turned in very good performances in their respective films. Not Russell Crowe. Seriously. I do not want to see Russell Crowe in another horror film. Ever. Because bad things always happen when Russell Crowe is in a horror film. It just does. Seriously. And he's just dull, dreary, and uninteresting to watch. It's like he doesn't even care about the material. And that's why I'm giving him this award for worst actor this year at the Horror Whammies. Next up, worst independent horror film. Last year I had Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. Thankfully, I did not see its sequel this year. So I have to give myself credit for not seeing the sequel. Because I probably would have had that as one of my worst films of the year. If not the worst. The 7th annual Horror Whammy for Worst Independent Horror Film goes to Arena Wars. Man, that was such a horrible film to watch. Seriously. There are a lot of really bad independent horror films which I could have given this to. At least two or three of them. But this was really the worst of the worst. This is a film that felt like it was going 90 miles per hour. When you have a film that goes 90 miles per hour, it usually tends to not be a good film. Because usually you don't get any story. You don't get any interesting characters. Instead, you're just rushing through the film. And going right to kill scenes and action. And just spend the whole 90 minutes doing that. Which it does with Arena Wars. One of the things that I really despised about this film was the fact that it just does not slow down. There's no sense of any character development. You don't know any of the main characters except the character you're supposed to know about. That's it. Everybody else is just put to the side. You also have an annoying performance from Michael Madsen, who was just flat out annoying in this film as one of the commentators of this Arena Wars TV show. It was just so annoying to watch. I don't know why I chose to watch this film. I thought it would be an interesting film, but the fact that they really don't go into any of the characters except the main character a little bit tells you that this film is just a bunch of kill scenes. A bunch of glorified action scenes. That's not what I want in my horror film. It was like this film was trying to get on Showtime, trying to get on Amazon Prime, and it succeeded. It got on Showtime. Because it went 90 miles per hour. It was so mindless. I hate when independent filmmakers try to take the easy way out. Try to do whatever is best so they can get on one of the major networks or streaming platforms that will stream their film for free so that they can make money off it. It's ridiculous. Seriously. How Arena Wars existed is beyond me because seriously, that felt like an exercise in lazy filmmaking. From the screenplay to how everything is just flat out rushed without no explanation. And then again, you have Michael Madsen being so annoying in this film. He could have easily gotten worse actor this year if it wasn't for Russell Crowe. So that's why Arena Wars got worst independent horror film. We're now on to the two biggest dishonorable mentions of the year. We're up to worst director. Last year, I chose Ry Frank Waterfield for Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. The 7th annual Horror Whammy for Worst Director goes to Bruce McGuire for Night Swim. The direction for Night Swim was just flat out horrible. Seriously. I remember seeing this film on Peacock, and it felt like 90 minutes of lifelessness. Seriously. McGuire does not do a good job in making sure you are interested in the material through his direction. He also co-wrote the screenplay too here. And that was awful as well. But his direction is probably a little more worse. I ranted about this film. It's like I could not believe how bad this film was. Seriously. It was like watching a film where nothing happens for most of it. I'm supposed to be watching a horror film where I am scared. Not a horror film where, well, nothing happens or all the events take place in one pool, which I don't get. Seriously, as this film just really is one of those mind-numbing films from start to finish. Literally. McGuire doesn't even try to make sure that his direction is good. It's like he has a bunch of scenes where nothing happens for most of it. And when you have the action scenes in the film, they just all fell flat on its face. And this is the problem when you have a PG-13 horror film, everyone, with a killer pool. You can't show blood. And when you have a film called Night Swim and you have a killer pool, you need to show blood. And there was no blood in this film. Hardly any, to be exact. And that's what really irked me about this film, was the fact that this direction was just completely lifeless. It felt like he just gave up on this film, literally. Directing a screenplay where you have literally people just going underneath the pool. That is like it. It doesn't feel suspenseful. It had no second act. That whole second act was so botched in its direction. Literally. It made me not care about any of the main characters in this film. At all. That direction just was a flat out horrible. And that's why Bruce McGuire won Worst Director for Night Swim. Now we are on to the final award in the 7th Annual Horror Whammies. Worst Picture of the Year. Last year, I chose Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. The 7th Annual Horror Whammy for Worst Picture goes to, you guessed it, Night Swim. Now, here's the story about Night Swim here. I almost saw this film when it came out in theaters back, I think, around January of last year, literally. Because I wanted to break in the year with a horror film. And, oh, I thought it'd be cool. Maybe check out Night Swim, see if it's really good. Since it's a Blumhouse title. Thankfully, there was another movie playing around that weekend called The Beekeeper, starring Jason Statham. It's an action drama, and I was kind of torn between The Beekeeper and Night Swim. Do I go show my loyalty to horror and Blumhouse? Or should I just fall into my love for Jason Statham films? Well, I fell into my love for Jason Statham films. And surely that was the right decision, because Night Swim was a piece of garbage. If I had seen this film in the theaters, this would have been a video rant. Meaning, I can swear on a video rant. And it probably would have had some expletives in that rant of that film, because that was garbage. Seriously. And for Jason Blum to even greenlight this film is a travesty. Seriously. What the hell is going on at Blumhouse? You guys have been very quiet in 2024. Which is making me nervous about The Wolfman. Even though I'm excited for The Wolfman. And I'm going to go see that in theaters because, well, Leigh Whannell has not let me down with his films Upgrade and The Invisible Man. So I'm definitely going to go see that. But Gang Move to January made me nervous. But then again, Joker 2 was out in October, and that was supposed to be a big thing, and that turned out to be a disaster. You want to know how much I loathe Night Swim, everyone? Everybody this year has been calling Madame Web the worst film of the year. It's a superhero film. I saw that film. It was very awful. But that was the second worst film of the year that I saw. Because Night Swim was the worst film of the year. Let's face it. This film fits the definition of an unreleasable film. The screenplay felt like it had no second act. The direction was horrible. The acting was really bad. The concept was awful. The fact that there's no blood in this film from a killer pool didn't help its cause. Because when I'm expecting a killer pool film, I like to see some blood. No offense. But they were too busy trying to make a PG-13 film. And when they decided to make this film, whoever decided to greenlight this, because if I was a Hollywood executive, I would not greenlight this film, considering the lack of action this film has. And it's just flat out dull for 90 minutes. It's one of those films where it made me embarrassed to be a horror fan. Because when I think of a killer pool, I expect some blood in the film. There is hardly any. Instead, they just go underneath the pool. Or they get pulled underneath the pool. And that's it. It's just dumb. Very dumb. It may be good for a 5-minute short film, but not for a feature-length film. Why someone would greenlight this is beyond me. Yeah, many people say Madame Web is the worst film of 2024 in general, but they really need to see this film badly, because this is truly the worst film of the year. At least Madame Web tried to be a film, even though it failed on all fronts, like this film. But it tried to, at least it had action. This film didn't have any action. And the only action was enough that it was just so dull. To the point where this film literally put me to sleep. I don't know who greenlit this film, but this film should have never been made. Blumhouse could have saved themselves at least the budget of this film if they had someone who had the sense to tell Jason Blum that this film is unfilmable. Literally. I wouldn't greenlight this. Seriously. I just don't get it. This is not what horror fans want. Killer pools with no bite. No suspense. This film had nothing. Just 90 minutes of dullness. In a genre where you have to have action. And this film just doesn't have any action. The acting's horrible. The screenplay is a joke. You could probably edit this into a 40-minute film, if that. That's how bad the screenplay is, seriously. It's just so unreleasable. It is. It is a definition of an unreleasable film. And that's on movie screens and the Toxic Avenger remake isn't. It's a disgrace. Enough with Night Swim. I'm done talking about Night Swim. That's why it's worst film. Now a quick recap of the horror whammies. We only had 2 films this year with multiple wins. A lot of films had 1 win. Including Black Cab, Godzilla and Times Kong, The New Empire, Scalper, Universal Pictures also picked up a win, Arena Wars picked up a win, The Exorcism picked up 2 wins, and the big winner of the 7th Annual Horror Whammies is Night Swim at 5 wins. Well, that wraps up this year's edition of the Horror Whammies, the 7th annual edition. I'll be back with What's Anthony T. Watching with a film that is actually good, unlike these films that I just mentioned. If you want to find out the latest news for Anthony T's Horror and Wrestling Show, you can follow the podcast on the Slasher app, Facebook, and Instagram at Anthony T's Horror and Wrestling. You can also listen to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, DocDiscussions.com, and the Film IK Media YouTube channel at YouTube.com at Film IK Media. What's Anthony T watching? Well, this is the start of the 2024 Rewind, as I'll be reviewing two films over the next two episodes from 2024, as I usually do during these award shows. And speaking of award shows, earlier in the podcast, I gave Worst Idea of the Year to Universal Pictures for selling off The Substance to MUBI weeks before it premiered at the Cannes Film Festival, everyone. Now, I already told you how it worked out for them. Not good, because they're probably wishing they had the film back. They're probably wishing that they did not try to change the ending to that film and have a different ending because, well, that was a dumb idea, everyone. Seriously. But anyway, I've already gone over why it was such a dumb idea from them. Literally, the film made money at the box office and it really bit them in the ass for selling that film off. But they rather release films like Night Swim. But anyway, enough with that. This is my review of The Substance, the film that Universal Pictures idiotically sold to an indie film company called MUBI. I never heard of MUBI releasing films until this year, as I knew there were a website for indie films and the art house type crowd of films. But I never knew that they had a streaming service. I never knew that they released films. And thanks to Universal Studios, now I know MUBI releases films as well. And they reaped the benefits of the debacle at Universal Pictures over this film. Because literally, Hollywood never ceases to amaze me. They have to play it safe. They have to play it safe. And the ending to The Substance really did not sit well with Universal Pictures, to the point where they demanded that the ending change. But I'm still going on this rant because, well, this is a dumb idea by Universal Pictures, but why don't we just get to the review? Let me just read the plot synopsis for the review on IMDb.com. It goes as this. A fading celebrity takes a black market drug, a cell replicating substance that temporarily creates a younger, better version of herself. Yep. That sounds like a David Cronenberg type film that we are dealing with here. And literally, I've been wanting to see this film. Thankfully, I got this film in just as the year ended, as I'm recording this review right before 2025. And I have to say, The Substance is a great film from start to finish. In fact, this is one of the year's best films. Period. This film is literally a film that is insane. Literally. There's a quote from IndieWire on the poster of this film saying, absolutely bleeping insane. Yeah, that's pretty much what this film was. Absolutely bleeping insane. IndieWire.com nailed that tagline right on. That, in fact, should be the tagline for this film. Absolutely bleeping insane. As this was just a great film from start to finish. From the opening shot to this film to the final shot of this film, it was a great film. Writer-director Coraline Farget, and if I'm pronouncing it, I apologize, does a very good job with the way she handles both the direction and writing of this film. Whether it's the way she approaches her screenplay in this film, to the way that she approaches her direction, everything is done perfectly in this film. One of the things I also, I think, loved about this film a lot was the fact that this was just a complete mind bleep. It just was. Seriously. It's one of those films where I appreciate writers and directors going all out. This is probably the second most ballsiest film of the year besides Terrifier 3. It's just as ballsy. Seriously. Especially the ending of this film. It's just ballsy. To the point that it freaked out Universal Pictures. This is a case you can classify this film as an extreme horror film. Because it is. With the psychology aspects of this film, to some of the grotesque images of this film, to that final act of this film, it's ballsy. This is the type of horror I want to see. I don't want to see these cookie cutter horror films like a certain Universal Pictures film, Night Swim. Had to throw that in there, sorry. Because literally, I want to see horror push to the limits. And I think audiences are ready for this. Between Terrifier 3's gross and The Substance gross at the box office this year, I think audiences are ready for extreme horror. If done right, that means you have to have a story. You have to have intense action. This film, The Substance, has that. As Farget does a great job with her screenplay. I love how she dives into the psychological aspects along with exploring the dark side of Hollywood with all the ageism, people obsessed with eternal youth, and the obsession of stardom. Everything of that nature is covered in this film. And it really worked very well. And it also helped that this film had some great acting as well. As there's been a lot of great acted horror films this year, which is kind of rare, seriously, when you come think about it. You have films like Late Night with the Devil, Nosferatu, Maxine, where you had great acting in it. Where horror's been all about the blood and the gore, but for some weird reason this year, acting has been top-notch in some of these horror films. And that's a really good thing. I like to see more of that in the future in horror films. Top-notch acting. As Demi Moore, Margaret Qualley, and Dennis Quaid did a great job with the way that they handled their characters in this film. It made it very interesting. It made this film very good. I thought the chemistry was there between the three main actors and actresses in this film. It's a credit to each of their talents. Overall, this was a very well-acted film. And I'm just surprised that we've gotten at least three or four of these films that have been very well-acted this year. Usually in horror films, acting usually is like secondary. Sure, you'll get good acting, but not like A-level acting. You've got a lot of A-level acting this year, and The Substance is one of those films that has A-level acting. It just amazes me. As this has been a great year for horror. Seriously. Especially for these smaller films. Because it really shows that there's a lot of very interesting horror films out there with creative directors and creative screenwriters. And The Substance is just one of those films. Period. It is a great film. Coraline Faggett's direction's great. Her screenplay's great. The acting from Demi Moore, Margaret Qualley, and Dennis Quaid are great. Overall, this is a great film and a must-see film, as this will definitely probably be high on my year-end list. 5 stars for The Substance.
New year also means new changes to the Facebook social media presence of Anthony T's Horror Show. As I've also decided, besides doing this podcast, is do a bi-weekly playlist of hard rock and heavy metal music called the Horror Devil's Hard Rock and Metal Chamber. Now, this is a 2-hour playlist on YouTube Music in which I choose songs from today and yesterday. Think more like songs from present day to the 90s, some 80s music may get thrown into, maybe some 70s, depends how I feel, because I usually control what gets put on that. Plus, every playlist will have a mandatory Ice Nine Kills song, because, well, Ice Nine Kills bridges both heavy metal and horror. So, I had to do something to bridge the two worlds. From this podcast to music, you'll get that on the playlist, plus triple doses every hour of a single artist. The first 2 episodes or playlists are already up on YouTube Music. I have the links already put up on the official Facebook page, the official Facebook group page, and the Slasher app. So that's how I'm promoting this list, until I have another idea. And trust me, that could evolve. So I may continue to evolve that project on the music side of things. Because heavy metal and horror go together, everyone. I think I did a rant on that last year at some point. And I kind of really am wanting to do this for quite a while, ever since having a great experience at Silver Scream Con last year. So I figured, start the new year off with a new project for this podcast. It's not a podcast. I will not be interrupting any songs. It's just a 2-hour playlist straight on. May go over, may go under, but it'll be around 2 hours. Also, next episode will be the Horror Show Awards. The best awards, best performances, best films, stuff like that. That's next episode. Then the episode after that will be the best of 2024. As I have Brandon and Dave from PBD Horror coming on to the podcast, as we will be chatting about our favorite films from that year. It's already been recorded, and it's probably one of the most fun episodes I've ever recorded for this podcast. That'll be 2 episodes from now, because next episode will be the Horror Show Awards. You have to do the worst awards first, then the best awards, then the best of list. So, with that, I want to thank you for listening to this podcast. Have a good day and support Indie Horror.
This has been a Film Arcade Media production.